last week in Ephesians at this idea that we are saints. We are saints. We're not just simply sinners saved by grace. It kind of sounds like a play on words. It kind of sounds like maybe it's not a big deal, but it is something that's a big deal that we realize in our heart and in our mind that we're not simply sinners saved by grace, but that we are saints in Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord this morning, you are called a saint. It means holy. It means blameless. It means without reproach. As you stand before God, He sees you as a saint. Regardless of what you've done in your past, regardless of whatever sin has been in your life, in Christ, you are a saint. Therefore, you were a sinner who has been saved by grace. So now, you're a saint who sins. That's the way that life works. It's actually quite a big deal for our identity, for who we are, for how we view our lives. And we also saw that we are adopted by God through Christ Jesus. And as we looked at what adoption is, this is also a big deal in our life. Our life now is no longer our own. It's not our own anymore. We need to understand that. It isn't just we decide whatever we want, whatever feels good at the moment, whatever seems good to us. That's not how it works anymore. We've been bought with a price in this adoption, and the price that was paid was the life of Jesus. He shed His blood for our adoption and for our cleansing. And in this adoption, several things have taken place that are a reality in our life now. We've completely lost all of our former life. That is what is supposed to have happened. We've completely lost all of our former life. Whether we choose to hang on to it or not, that's something that's up to us. But we also have all rights and privileges of a legitimate son or daughter. A legitimate son or daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, of God Almighty. It's important that we remember you are not who you once were. So we shouldn't go on through this life thinking that we're that old self, thinking that we're that sinner who hopefully there's enough grace that we can make it through the day. Hopefully there's enough grace that at the end of the year we'll still be standing. That's not who we are anymore. This new family, this adoption, this translation that we've had from darkness to now light, it also comes with a special place in the kingdom of God. There's a special seating arrangement in the kingdom of God. And it's important that we know about it, because just like when you purchase concert tickets or hockey tickets or whatever it might be, you have a seat reserved for you as you've made that purchase. So this message is called Reserved Seating, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 again. So if you have your Bibles or your phones with you, Ephesians chapter 1. There's never a place for pride in the Christian life, but you must know who you are in Christ. It's an absolute must. It's not a pride thing. It's not because of anything we've done or that we've accomplished, but you must know who you are in Christ. It's essential that you know who you are. It's essential that you know what salvation means in your life beyond going to heaven one day when you die. It's essential that you know what Jesus accomplished for you on that cross and through His resurrection. Our new life in Christ comes with many blessings. Absolutely. We looked at spiritual blessings, all of them, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places we have been blessed with. It comes with many gifts. It comes with many amazing things, but it also comes with responsibility. And that's something that we need to know and understand and remember. This is not Christianity, as I say all the time, is not say a prayer and then sit on the couch until we die and go to heaven and hope that the rapture comes soon. That's not Christianity. There is blessing and gifts, and it's amazing, and the gospel is the good news, and it's the best thing we could ever hear, but it comes with responsibility. We're told in Scripture that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 reads, "Now then, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." As ambassadors for Christ. God knows that in order for us to be worthy and effective ambassadors for him and for the kingdom, we're going to need some help. I think we know that if we look deep within ourselves, that if we're going to be ambassadors for Christ on this earth, we're going to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, we need some help. I hope that we realize we need some help. Scripture tells us that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing. That's kind of depressing, but it's the truth. But it's not depressing because with Christ, the scriptures also tell us that nothing will be impossible. So apart from him, we can do nothing of value, of eternal value. But with Christ, nothing is impossible. So Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 15. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as always in our life and every week, we declare your word is truth. We declare that we will bow our opinion, our desire, our wants to your word. We will allow your word to mold us and shape us and change us, Father. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and the room of all those watching live and the recording to minister to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach and speak to every heart and every mind, that you would show us your ways and show us your truth. And that among us, Holy Spirit, you would do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Paul here in our opening verses is praying for us. He's praying for the church. He's praying for the church in Ephesus. He's praying to us, the saints, the followers of Christ. And he's praying that we'll receive certain things. And that he's giving us then certain information that we're going to need to live this Christian life successfully. Because we can say a prayer and we can go to church and we can know Jesus as Lord and we can really not do much more and end up in heaven when we die, or we can live this Christian life successfully. We can be ambassadors for the kingdom and make a difference and partner with him to build his kingdom, to build his church, to advance the gospel, to invade darkness, to fill heaven. Paul prays that we would receive, he says, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is an interesting thing because one of the primary things that we need is wisdom. We need wisdom. This isn't so much speaking in this wording of mystical wisdom or these experiences, but this is really talking about practical, workable principles for life. The word used for revelation means a clear perception and applicable understanding. Man, does the church ever need that in the times that we live? The church and we in our lives, we need practical, workable principles. We need a clear perception and applicable understanding. As we live in a day and age where I've said many times, everybody's an expert. No matter what it is, we can become an expert. All we need is 1 hour of research on the internet, and all of a sudden we're a competent doctor or psychologist or politician or theologian or whatever it is. Give me an hour of research, and I can be an expert in anything and everything. What we really need as the church is a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, a clear perception and applicable understanding. From our text today, we see that the Holy Spirit is the source of both of these. Wisdom and revelation. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We often think that, you know, it's the Father who is in the heavenly places. He is on His throne. And Jesus, as we see in our, we'll see in our text today, that He is at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. It's the Holy Spirit whose temple, Scripture says, we are. If we are going to be worthy and effective ambassadors, we need wisdom. And we need more wisdom than the person's YouTube video from the mom's basement. We need wisdom from the Holy Spirit. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thankfully, if we don't have it, we don't have to go to research the internet to find it always. If we don't have it, the book of James tells us that we can ask for it. If we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. And thankfully, he says God will supply it. And he doesn't just say that God will supply it. He says that he will give it liberally, abundantly, without holding back. As we touched on last week, this God has predestined. God has chosen. God is sovereign and in control. And God is also what we call omnipresent. It's a theological word that means everywhere at all times. That's God. Everywhere at all times. He is omni. He is everywhere all the time. Past, present, future. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, He is there. The Psalms tell us that where can we go to escape His presence? There's nowhere. If we go to heights or we go to depths or we go far, or we go near or we go to oceans, we go anywhere. He's already there. He's waiting for us. He knows what we're going to say before it's even on our lips to say it. Everywhere, all times, He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Creator. He's Yahweh. He spoke the world into being with the Word. Let there be light, and there was light. So what do you think that it would take to surprise God? What would it take? It would have to be something pretty big, probably. Have you thought about that? God, the beginning and the end, God, Creator, God, sovereign and in control, what do you think it would take to surprise God? That layoff, that situation, that issue, that struggle, that relationship that went sideways, that decision that you didn't see coming, you name it. It surprised you, but it did not surprise God. God already knew it. And God already planned for it. We need the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding. A spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Also, in order to be worthy and effective ambassadors, we need this wisdom, we need this revelation, we need this understanding, but we also need to understand the power of the one above us. Because if we're going to be ambassadors in a foreign land, then hopefully the one above us, the one who's giving us the authority to go and be and do, has some power. Or we're in trouble, or our authority isn't going to mean much. Any authority inferred to us, if the one above us doesn't have much, isn't going to be much. Verse 20, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. We see that wording again, in the heavenly places. All the spiritual blessings we talked about last week came from the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing that we've been given is in the heavenly places. That's where God is, seated on a throne. And Jesus is seated there at the right hand of God. The right hand is used in biblical writings and in literature to speak of power and authority. Your right hand man, we still use it today. Power and authority. In the Greek, this heavenly places that Ephesians keeps talking about it's referred to as and defined as the invisible realm that surrounds our present daily situation, the arena or sphere of spiritual action and activity. That is the heavenly places. It is there. It is present. It's often more real than what we perceive. It's more real than what we see. It affects what we see and experience and how life goes. So from this, it's important to understand that Satan is real. He's not a metaphor. He's not a story. He's not anything. He's not symbolic. He's real. He has a kingdom. He has demonic forces. There is a battle. There is a war. There is these things taking place. However, we read in verses 21 and 22 that Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior, is far above all principality. Far above all power, far above all might and dominion. And not only that, but Jesus is far above every name that is named. And then it says, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So, no matter what principalities, no matter what power, no matter what spiritual darkness, no matter what might, no matter what dominion, no matter what name is named, now or in the age to come, Jesus is far above. And God has placed all things under his feet. That's who we are ambassadors for. It's his power and authority that he's conferred to us to be ambassadors in a foreign land. So, tell me, who do you want to follow? After hearing that, it sounds like a silly question, but we come up with all kinds of things to follow. Who do you want to follow? The businessman who's really successful? You want to follow the politician who's made it all the way and is so powerful? You want to follow the YouTuber in the mom's basement? You want to follow yourself? Make your own decisions, do it your way? You want to follow some celebrity who's rich and famous? Who do you want to follow? Them or Jesus? The name above every other name. Jesus, the one far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Who do you want fighting with you and for you? These sound like silly questions, but the choice is yours. The reality is that you must make a choice, but the reality is also that you already have. You must make a choice. There's no option. There is no going through life saying, I'm not going to follow anybody. You hear sometimes, I'm my own person. No, you're not. You follow somebody. You're copying somebody or something. Who is it going to be? By the way that you live your life, by the choices that you make and the way you decide, display the choice that you have made. Choose Jesus. In the Old Testament, God places before his people, he says, I've placed before you life and death. I've placed before you blessing and cursing. Choose life. Before us, we have a multitude of options of people and things and stuff to follow. And Jesus. Choose Jesus. Just stop running your own life. You don't know what you're doing. Just stop allowing some sort of celebrity to run your life. They don't know what they're doing. Just stop allowing some form of society to run your life. They definitely don't know what they're doing. Choose Jesus and let him run your life. Jesus I choose you. Repeat that this morning. Jesus, I choose you. Every day, as choices are presented to you, because they will be, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you close your eyes at bed, and even after that, choices are presented to you. Remember, Jesus, I choose you. And then act accordingly. Choose the church. Does the church matter? Well, absolutely it does, because Jesus, it says, is the head over the church, and that the church is his body on this earth. We're ambassadors for him. Jesus is no longer walking around the earth. He's seated at the right hand of heaven. God the Father isn't walking around the earth. He's seated on his throne in the heavenly places. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, so you walk the earth as an ambassador for Christ. Jesus isn't coming back to die on a cross again. He's already done that. Jesus isn't coming back to give us a little pep talk and a lesson and then return back to heaven. When he comes back, it's over. When he comes back, it's amazing, but it's time up. Game over. The Holy Spirit is in you to be an ambassador for him. Choose Jesus. If we continue on in our text that we didn't read this morning, into chapter 2, we see that choosing Jesus does require change in our life. That's just a reality. Sometimes we want to hear the message of the choose Jesus and love is love and everybody's happy and live how you want and you're forgiven and go to heaven. But Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3 tell us that we were dead in sin. Now we're alive in Christ. It says that we once walked in sin after lusts of our flesh and desires of our flesh and mind. We once walked doing what felt good at the moment, deciding at the moment whatever we thought was right or good or felt the best. But now we're new creations in Christ. You are not who you once were, so we don't live that way anymore. And then we come to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, and that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. There's that wording again. What a position you in Christ have been placed in. Think about that. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. You have reserved seating. And we're not talking about some concert. We're not talking about some hockey game. We're not talking about something of this earth. We're talking about the heavenly places. The place that's more real than what we experience here. The heavenly places. We're talking about far above all spiritual forces. We're talking about far above every name that is named. You are seated in the heavenly places. You are seated at the right hand of God. You are seated with Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ, for the kingdom of God. What is an ambassador? Well, the dictionary defines it as an official envoy. It says a diplomatic agent of the highest rank, accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. An ambassador. You are a diplomatic agent of the highest rank. You are accredited to a foreign government or sovereign, this earth, as a resident representative of your own government, the kingdom, the heavenly places, for a special and temporary diplomatic assignment. That is who you are in Christ. That's why it's so important that we realize we're not sinners saved by grace. That's not who you are anymore. You were a sinner, but you've been saved by grace. You're now an ambassador. That is where you are seated with Christ, the right hand of God in the heavenly places. That's pretty crazy. That is your position as an adopted son or daughter of God, bought with the blood and life of Christ. That is your place as the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You have an amazing privilege in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours. Redemption, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. You've been redeemed of the curse so that you live in the blessing. The gift of grace is beyond our full comprehension. But you also have great responsibility. You weren't given this to sit on the couch and do nothing till Jesus returns or you die and go to heaven. You weren't given this to go and do what you do, to go and live how you live, to go and make whatever choice you want to make. God expects us to use what we've been given. But he's also given us everything needed to be successful. We've received a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've been given someone so much greater than us, Jesus. The Holy Spirit within us as our source and our guide. And he seated us with himself in a place of power and authority in the heavenly places. Let's be worthy and effective ambassadors. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We thank you, Jesus, that you went to that cross, you died in our place, and you rose from that grave. We thank you, Father, that you have adopted us as sons and daughters through our faith in Jesus Christ. You've forgiven every sin. You've translated us from darkness to light. You've made us new creations. We are no longer who we once were. And you've gathered us together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places with Christ, inferring upon us the authority and the power that you have, making us ambassadors for Christ in this earth, that we would build your church, that we would advance your kingdom, that we would spread the gospel, that we would fill heaven, that we would invade hell. We choose Jesus. We choose Jesus in every opportunity placed before us. We will not choose what seems right in the moment. We will not choose what our flesh and mind desire if it's against following Christ. We choose Jesus, and we act accordingly. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with your spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need wisdom, Lord, and we ask for it. We ask for wisdom and understanding as we are ambassadors on this earth, that we would know and understand, that we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free, that we would do the things, Jesus, that you did, and even greater. We thank you for this new life. We thank you for mercy and grace beyond our comprehension. And we ask you to guide and empower us to be ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen.